Good Tuesday morning to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. We've all had the experience of finding ourselves reliving an experience in our memory, trying to squeeze every last drop of enjoyment and perhaps meaning from the memory. I think that's what was happening with the disciples and close friends of Jesus in the days immediately following that unexplainable Easter Sunday. Already, you and I, and most everyone in our world in 2025, has rushed very quickly into the busyness of our lives, and Easter Sunday, while only 48 hours ago, seems like a month ago, doesn't it? It was not, however, that way for the friends of Jesus. Their lives had been turned upside down, and I believe nearly every waking moment in the days after that remarkable Sunday, their minds and hearts were fully engaged, wrestling, trying to piece together the memories they all had, seeking to come to some reasonable understanding of Jesus and the meaning of these months they had spent with Jesus. John tells us the disciple Thomas had not been in that locked room on Resurrection Day evening when the friends of Jesus had been together and suddenly Jesus was among them, according to John chapter 20. It's not really important why Thomas was absent, but his absence, and therefore his reasonable doubts, set the stage for another amazing appearance of Jesus a few days later. Despite their best efforts, those who had been together that Resurrection Day evening and had seen resurrected Jesus could not convince Thomas that it was true. I don't blame Thomas for doubting the resurrection stories, do you? After all, when's the last time you saw a person resurrected from the dead? It should not be difficult for us to imagine their efforts to convince Thomas. Some talked of seeing Jesus with their own eyes. Others talked about hearing Jesus speak to them. Some even told Thomas that Jesus ate with them. Did you know that? Luke records this of that Easter Sunday evening gathering. Jesus showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and Jesus took it and ate it in their presence. Luke 24. What more evidence could Thomas possibly need than the eyewitness accounts of all these friends with whom he had spent the last many months following Jesus, watching Jesus do the miracles, listening to Jesus proclaim God's kingdom truths? But in every conversation, Thomas shook his head in disbelief. Thomas, like me and maybe you, was a reasonable man, and what these trusted friends were saying about Jesus was simply not reasonable. Have you ever found yourself in that situation? The evidence is proclaimed to you by people you trust, but still you refuse to take that great leap of faith and believe something that seems unreasonable. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit made sure John included this story of Thomas in his record, for Thomas represents a huge portion of the human race who simply struggle to embrace the Christian reports of Easter in every generation, every part of the world. Finally, Thomas had evidently heard enough, so he ended the debate with this powerful statement: "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." John 20, verse 25. Do you notice that for Thomas, it wasn't going to be enough to see Jesus, not even to hear Jesus? Thomas needed to touch him, and more than that, Thomas wanted to inspect the scars, including the side scar where the soldiers pierced Jesus with a spear, according to John 19. I wonder if when Thomas spoke of Jesus' side scar, he looked right at the disciple John, for John was standing at the cross and was eyewitness to that moment. It seems to me, therefore, that Thomas had heard about the spear thrust into Jesus' side from John, or Mary Magdalene, or Mary, Jesus' mother, all of whom stood together at the cross watching Jesus die. My friends, do you understand that God welcomes our questions? Matthew records that Jesus once said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Matthew chapter 11. While often we think of those words as encouraging to someone who is exhausted or burdened down with grief, May I urge us to consider today, Jesus was also talking about anguish and anxiety of the soul. It's when our minds are really struggling to find answers, or our emotions are all over the place, leaving us frightened or fearful or worried, or maybe even terrified. Thomas was in that place in the days immediately following Passover Easter 2,000 years ago. No matter how hard he tried, Thomas simply could not get beyond his need for reasonable proof of the claim that his friends were making, that dead Jesus was resurrected. I wonder if his resistance began to build resentment between Thomas and his friends. Perhaps Thomas even began to distance himself from them, not wanting to feel their condemnation. I'm confident Thomas prayed, crying out to God, asking for God's help in finding and believing truth. John tells us the following Sunday, 1 week after Resurrection Day, the friends of Jesus were together again. Why? It was only with each other that they could speak openly about what they had experienced, ask their questions of each other, and relive the memories they had of Jesus. This time, Thomas was with them. I'm so glad John gives us a record of what happened. So let's join them. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." John chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. I wonder what tone of voice Jesus spoke with as he looked into the eyes of his doubting friend, Thomas. What do you hear? Stern, compassion, rebuke, empathy, affirmation, and invitation to proof? It's interesting to me that John does not tell us if Thomas actually touched Jesus' nail-scarred hands, or at that moment, did Thomas simply fall to his knees or embrace Jesus in profound gratitude. This is a defining moment for every person in our world, in every generation. God understands our reluctance to believe, our resistance to faith, our need for proof, since our lives depend on our decision. In fact, God places within us a natural suspicion, a propensity toward doubt. That can be a great safeguard protecting us from danger, but it can also be a barrier to discovery. Thomas blurted out his relief and the conviction of his soul, "My Lord and my God." I believe Jesus may well have given Thomas a big bear hug right about then. And then these words of Jesus spoken to his friend Thomas, which echoed down through time to every person in every place since that day. "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." John 20:29. Is that you, my friends? Are you among those who have believed the Easter story as told by the disciples of Jesus, even though you have never seen Jesus or heard his audible voice or touched the scars in his hands? If so, God says you are blessed by the risen Jesus Christ. You are blessed now as you live here on earth by faith that Jesus walks with you. Blessed that your sins are forgiven. Blessed because the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. Blessed to know that at the moment of your earthly death, you'll be with Jesus in his paradise.